Kevin Shortsleeve has some thoughts about C.S. Lewis, whose birthday it is today.
Long ago, neath the shadow of the Castlereagh Hills of Ireland, a boilermaker by the name of Richard Lewis decided to fashion himself a cabinet for his wardrobe. He selected a few heavy slabs of black bog oak and hewed them into an imposing and fantastic armoire, complete with masterfully chiseled designs of spirals, shields, and crossing patterns. Years later, the tottering old gentleman was delighted to find his grandson, Clive Lewis, spending hours inside the wardrobe, a shadowy fort that the boy considered the ideal hideout and the perfect place to read old tales and imagine new ones. C.S. Lewis, who went on to author The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, never forgot the mystery of his rambling boyhood home. He wrote, "I am a product of long corridors, empty sunlit rooms, upstairs indoor silences, attics explored in solitude, and the sound of wind under the tiles." He could identify with precision the most important moments of his life, and they often involved a deep connection to nature. He was changed forever on the sunny day he stood beside a flowering currant bush and was overcome by bliss. And he often recalled the starlit September evening, when as a student at Oxford, he went for a stroll with his friend J.R.R. Tolkien. Staring up at the sky until 4 in the morning, they discussed folklore, religion, and the changing meaning of stars throughout history. By the end of the evening, Lewis had been converted to Christianity. Central to Lewis's faith was the concept that the most wonderful things in life come from the commonest places, and that is why the Christian allegory found in the Chronicles of Narnia all start in the shadows of a wardrobe. Recently, the heirs of Lewis's estate have allowed for license to be taken with the Narnia stories. Plush toys are in production, and there is talk of releasing edited, less overtly religious versions of the tales, so that Narnia might appeal to a wider audience. Lewis would be less than pleased with these plans. He was easily angered by the distracting trappings of Christmas that avoided reference to the Nativity. And one can assume he would feel the same about the essence of his own tales being snuffed out in the interest of profit. As we head toward the holidays and are bombarded with advertising, we would do well to remember Lewis's belief that to be happy at home is the end of all human endeavor. And in our wintry landscape of traditions, fairy tales, and story times, we might also recall one of the last sentences he ever wrote, "I am constantly with you in imagination."